This is the Extra Mile.
This is recording.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Extra Mile. Is that actually going to...
Sorry, it will be in there. I almost spilled my coffee.
It's okay.
What?
Well, you just as you were starting to grab the mic and the whole table tilted.
Oh, mama. All right, we'll go again. What will you do as a blooper?
Do a nice pause. I kind of like that.
Okay.
It was helpful.
Too much of a pause? Okay, we'll edit that up.
Well, now it's just awkward.
Okay. That's an awkward pause. All right, here's the pause. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Extra Mile. I'm Justin. That's G5. What's up, George?
How much, man?
And over in the corner, Caleb's corner.
I felt like you were about to intro like a MMA fight. In this corner.
And in this corner. Yeah. Caleb in his corner.
Caleb corner. Hey, Caleb.
Good morning.
How's your corner? Comfy?
Cornery.
I bet your chair is more comfortable than these.
Probably.
I hate these chairs.
Yeah.
You need like a...
Get some reps in.
Like a gaming chair. A way to control everything in your chair.
Like with buttons on the
side? Yeah, with buttons on the arms.
Do you know what I really want is like a pilot's chair, like a flight chair?
Yeah.
I would love...
That's what he needs. He's the pilot,
or
really.
Or barber chairs.
Yeah.
I think if we can get some like...
What's the spaceship in Star Trek?
Enterprise.
Like he's flying the Enterprise. Mm.
Captain Kirk chair.
Yeah.
We should get you barber chairs so that way when somebody makes an awkward comment, I can just take the barber chair and go and shrink down below the frame so you can't see. All right, y'all want a question today?
Caleb's Corner question.
It's a Caleb's Corner question. Caleb's Corner question.
Still don't have a graphic. Okay, let me pull up my questions here. How has your understanding of faith evolved over the years?
Oh, going deep. How has your understanding of faith evolved over the years?
Okay.
I still don't know what faith is.
I have an answer.
George, what is faith? Let's go to Webster's.
What is faith? So I actually think this is a I've been trying in my sermons to help people understand what faith is a little bit better. There's a really good book that you should read.
The Bible.
Yes, you should read the Bible, and we're going to go to the Bible here in a second. But
sorry. Justin's pretty tickled.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Sometimes the English doesn't do it justice, and so we need...
We have to go a little further than the King James.
Some little help with the Greek. But faith...
We'll edit that out.
...is a...
Poor George. I believe in you, George.
I'm sorry. I'll be quiet.
Shut up.
I've unplugged my microphone.
No. It's all good. Faith in the Greek is pistis. That's the Greek word for faith.
Pistis?
And when you think of faith, let's do a little study. Give me the definition of faith. Just generically, what do you think of? Think of faith.
The belief in things not seen.
Okay, yep, Hebrews 11.
Essentially that, yep.
Okay, Hebrews 11.
Sorry, right. We quote the Bible a lot.
Yeah.
In our brain.
Let's go to that passage.
Okay, Hebrews 11.
We like to go to this passage to define what faith is. And I think it sets the foundation. I think it helps give an introduction to what faith is. But if you just read this one verse again, this is so important, outside of context, you get a wrong understanding of what faith is. So when you're there, go ahead and read that.
Hebrews 11, starting in verse 1, says, "Now faith," oh, this is the New American Standard 1995 edition, by the way. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval."
Okay.
Keep going.
No, you stop right there.
It's a whole chapter of faith.
Yeah. Well, you can read the verse 3. Go ahead and read verse 3.
The last verse of that chapter says, "And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect."
Read verse 3, though.
Verse 3 says, "By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. I think sometimes we just read that part and we don't read the rest of the context. And what we think is faith is just blind trust. It is the, you know, Indiana Jones walk out under the invisible bridge. Right. Is it there? Is it not there?
The and penitent just, man will pass.
Yeah, and just see. I'm going to have to run and get my charger here in a second. So Justin, you're going to have to fill in.
Oh, I can fill it. I can fill time.
It's just plugged into my wall. Anyway, so I think that sometimes that's what we think faith is, and that's really not a complete picture of faith. Our faith isn't just based on, you know, no evidence and no facts. Like, that bridge is there. And it's not, yes, we may not be able to see it, but there's assurance that it's there, if we want to keep using that analogy. It's not a very good analogy anyway. But pistis, when it was used, that is faith, it was used to describe loyalty or allegiance. Off the podcast just a second ago, we were talking about being citizens of heaven, you know. Mm-hmm. There was that allegiance there when it talks about citizenship in Philippians, about those Roman citizens. There was an allegiance to Rome. He was saying you need to shift that so that your allegiance, your citizenship, is in heaven. And so that is often what faith is, combined with the understanding that, yeah, we have faith and conviction of what we cannot see, which is God, but it's not blind trust. It's faith and allegiance in that thing. And so when you read then Hebrews 11 in context, what did Abel do? What did Enoch do? What did Noah do? And Abraham and Jacob and Isaac? You keep going down the list, Rahab and all these people. It goes down to explain all the things that they then did because they were faithful, because of their allegiance, because of their loyalty to God. So it's not just blind, it's not blind trust. It's, yes, there is trust there, but it's action as well.
It's a dedication.
It's a dedication. Interesting. And so I think sometimes we read faith other places in the Bible and we say, we just need to trust God. And that's just such a shallow understanding of what faith is. It's like, no.
Jesus' main rebuke of the disciples, like when they were asking him questions, legitimate questions, they were trying to stump him. I'm not talking about the Pharisees. I'm talking about like his disciples that are asking legitimate questions of how do you do these things and how can I walk on water? And his rebuke constantly is, oh, you of little faith.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to do, these people did amazing things, mm-hmm. and their allegiance was to God first. Their loyalty was to God. They had pistis in God and it allowed them to do remarkable things.
Are we called to have great faith today?
But if we're not loyal to God, we're certainly not trusting him. And so we can get those two things flipped around and think God does all the work. I just need to trust God. And then not do anything. Well, you actually don't have any faith at all.
Because that's what James's rebuke is that I'll show you my faith by my works.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I'll show you pistis, that is a loyalty and allegiance Because it causes action.
That's amazing. So in the answer to your question, Caleb, I don't get that at all. I think I have a lot of faith to obtain because I don't feel like I have that. I feel very weak in that.
I guess the answer to your question, that's how it just evolved for me. That's how
that's amazing.
An understanding of faith is changed. Not that I'm good at that. Like, I'm still running with endurance the race that is set, which is the beginning of the next chapter.
Yeah, question isn't like, how faithful are you?
It's very, I'm very little. Evolved. Well, my understanding just grew a whole lot. Mm. That was a great point. Allegiance to God. And I think how God does that for us in our lives is something that we constantly make an appeal to the listener to say, you, if you personally are experiencing the life calamity that they'll write about, you know how like whenever you read about the people of the Bible, It doesn't talk about the many mornings that they woke up and they were thankful of heart and that they heard the birds singing and then they took a cup of coffee and they wept because of the beauty of the spring morning or whatever. It's never talking about that. It's about the time that they looked at the naked woman and they lusted after her, then they killed the husband, and then they laid down and have, you know, sired a child, and then like, okay, that's what they're going to write about you in the Bible. That's the story they're going to put on the Wikipedia page.
We did. Someone asked a question when we were having a study about David, and they're like, "What do you think of when you think of David?" And almost half of them talked about or had mentioned, "Yeah, David and Bathsheba." Like that's, I was like, "That's what you think about?" Like that is such a shame. I mean, yeah. I guess yeah. I mean, sin sticks, and that really stinks. And we all know that story.
Not that he wrote like 100 of the Psalms.
Yeah. And taught us so much in those Psalms. I mean, killed Goliath and, you know, did amazing things. But yeah, no, it's David and Bathsheba.
Well, but then the point of Hebrews 11 is that by faith they were able to accomplish these things. And I would even say that because they accomplished those things, God actually added something to the plan of salvation to reflect everything that was on their heart.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to go to, Ephesians.
And so the beauty of like faith growing, say, it actually comes at a bit of a price. And so how one who might experience a moment where their faith can grow is whenever you're going to be experiencing one of the worst days of your life. It's going to be the day that someone you love dies, and then you're in a car crash, and then your bank account gets hacked by somebody from another country, and now you don't have any money, and you know somebody smacks you in your face, and then they kill your dog. Like that, the worst day of your life, that's actually your worst day of your life, and that's horrible, and we all have that we experience. Not daily, say, but there is great calamity in our lives that we experience. That's actually the door being opened for you to dedicate your life to God, to give God a portion. You know what? I don't have any control over any of this. And once you make that realization on that day, that's actually a point of humility. That's whenever your heart is at its most open. Because if you're in control and you've got this and the birds are singing and life's good, you're probably not going to be giving God too much of the glory. Mm-hmm. But like if you're beat down and life is keeping you down and you're on the struggle bus, as we say, that's that moment that your heart is starting to open because you're able to say, you know what? I don't got this. I'm looking and seeking, and that looking and seeking is what God is calling for. And God's waiting there in his open arms. Come to me, all you are heavy and burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And that's that point where that seed of faith can be planted in your heart and can grow.
Yeah, you want it in good soil. The classic, we're talking about, you know, salvation, Ephesians 2, you know, verse 8 is the big one, but we'll get there. You got to read context. Verse 4. But God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even though we were dead in offenses, right? This is without faith, faith in ourselves, loyalty and allegiance to us. Again, it goes back to Jesus being king, made us alive together with Christ. We're resurrected, right? Clean soul. By grace, you have been saved, which is awesome. Grace is another good topic to talk about. And he raised us up together with him and seated us together with him at the heavenly realms in King Jesus, Christ Jesus, to demonstrate, there's the idea of demonstrating, in the coming ages, the surpassing wealth of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And then the classic verse 8, for by grace you have been saved. So we're trusting in what unseen, what God has done, that he's cleansing us from our sins, you know, through faith, pistis, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we're going to then demonstrate that and put in the works, but it's not that anyone can boast, because it says in verse 9, it's not from works so that no one can boast, for we are his creative work, having been created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand so we can do them. So once you understand faith as in pistis, mm-hmm. that passage makes a lot more sense. another study to understand this passage even better would be on grace, but we don't have time for that.
But once we have that seed planted and it's growing, the call, the learning, that I think the maturing of the faith is because you have a reliance on God as the one who's actually in control and that the ruler of your life. So that's, oh, Jesus is my Savior. Well, it's true. Once you have that, then your heart can grow in the direction of, I can do anything. I can do anything, and God gives me the power to do so. Not for my own personal gain, right, for the gain of the kingdom. Like, we can start a podcast and have 12 people watch it or whatever, you know, or have 20,000 people watch it. And whatever it is, let God give the increase. And then from there, I think if your heart is tuned to the right ways and that you're doing it for the kingdom, you're doing it for your brother, you're doing it for your neighbor, you're doing it so that love can be spread. Mm-hmm. I don't think that God wouldn't – I mean, you can pray and you can give over God, and if he wants it to happen in that way, then it'll happen and it'll grow. And it'll get to that point where you'll be able to look – you know, like whenever you're climbing a mountain or you're on a trail and you stop and you turn back and you look and you say, look how far I've come, you know. But I don't think that it's about personal gain. That's the pitfalls of humankind. Even the disciples fell into that.
No, the only personal gain that you should want is a closer relationship with God. And that's, you know, look at the entire context of Ephesians, and it ends with the mystery of the gospel. And it talks about marriage as being kind of that hint toward what that mystery is. And it's a good way to think about it. You mean, think about your relationship with your wife. You want to be faithful to your wife. Mm-hmm. And it means you're loyal and allegiant to your wife. But what if you do absolutely nothing to show that you love her, that you care for her? Really, it's dead. Faith without works is dead. Really, might as well be, you know, almost unfaithful at that point. Not saying you should. I'm just saying it's an extreme. The show that when I'm faithful to my wife, I'm having a relationship with my wife, and I'm putting in the work and the effort to show her that I care for her and I love her. Vice versa, same for the wife and her husband. So you apply that then to our relationship with God. It should be the same way. Like you were talking about.
And then it keeps maturing.
Yeah.
I don't know if we answered that question, but it was a great conversation.
What about you, Caleb?
Oh, man. Put me on the spot. This is a Caleb's Corner question. I'm not supposed to answer.
No, fair enough. Fair enough.
No. I thought it a lot more like dumbed down, very, very basically, of just through the years growing up, what my understanding of faith has been. And I think about it first from the perspective of when I was a kid. You know, obviously faith, it was kind of a difficult concept, I think, for a child to understand, because it's more about trust. It's more about seeing the works of what your parents are doing, the example that they're showing for you and setting for you and other people, obviously, as you're growing up and seeing people in the congregation of their great faith and the works that they do and the love that they show for God. So part of it's works, part of it's example, but part of it for me as a kid was like emotion of seeing the devotion that my parents had and how they worshiped, how they read scripture, how they taught us at home, the love that they showed for the word, for God, for wanting to share that with us as well. And then I've talked about this before with like teenagers, you know, when you're young, sometimes your faith emulates that of your parents. And your faith is essentially kind of what your parents is until you realize, you know, build what it means to build your own faith, what it means to start understanding, you know, what God did for us. And then we're going down the route of baptism and, you know, being saved and all that stuff. And then after that fact, it's really about building your own faith of understanding, you know, your parents hopefully laid you a foundation. Even if they didn't, you can still build your own faith. But then building on what it is to love God and how you go about doing that, the works that are involved in that and the emotion that's still involved in that too. I think there's a lot to be said about emotion with worshiping God, because it's not at all just about like doing things. It's about showing that to him and making sure that he knows that you love him. And then as I've continued to get older, you know, it's just continuing to grow that. And like you were talking about, faith without works is dead. You can have the most emotion out of any person in the crowd and show that, but if your heart isn't in it, then it's nothing's going to matter. And I think that's kind of like, to wrap it all up, that's where I'm at this point now, is that it's easy to build on the things that, one, my parents have taught me, and then build on my own faith from when I was little to where I am now, and have the emotion for it. But if the heart isn't in it, if I don't truly have the want and the need to grow just myself and then in turn be able to grow others, I'm probably answering this terribly, but
no, you gave me some really interesting insights, so I'm going to add on to it.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, that's where I'm at right now, because I think the point that I'm in my life, there's a lot of routine of just going through actions, and that's what life is. I mean, you've got routines every single day, whatever phase, however old you are, you've got routines, and I just have to be so careful that every day I'm waking up and I've got the mindset and the heart of being able to continue to grow that faith every day and grow in that love every day. Because if I don't have that mindset every day, it's really easy just to get back into that routine and just not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it.
I thought that was really good. Kids are an easy one. It's often what I think about a lot. I mean, and that's what faith is, you know, to a child, as they're listening to you as their parent, to also hear what the parent is saying, but then also listen and do what the parent is saying. And I think that is faith in its entirety. And you were talking about, you know, growing up and having your own faith, not your parents' faith. I think sometimes when we rely on what our parents did, we have our parents' faith. But once we understand that loyalty and allegiance, you know, what does my loyalty and allegiance look like to God? I'm doing I'm doing it myself. And so I'm growing in my own faith. And that's, I actually never even understood or saw that before until you just said that. This idea of, well, loyalty and allegiance can actually help us gain our own understanding of faith separate from our parents, when we ourselves are loyal and allegiant to God and not relying on what our parents did.
Hmm. Well, hopefully that answered it.
Not as
it's really personal.
Belly laughing. And this is the last one. But
well, they say that
still
like,
going.
I mean,
belly laughing?
That's really common.
From our last episode.
It's really commonly said, isn't it, where like faith is very personal, and that it's a personal walk. It's a journey, you know? And I think that to be able to open your heart to that, there's some, I think, who are more fortunate where it just comes really easy to them to have that blind faith. Yeah. But then others, I think it's sought after in a daily steps to get better. It's like climbing a mountain. You have to do it one step at a time.
Yeah, and it's not like Sisyphus. You will make it over the mountain. There you go.
Make it over that mountain.
Go so.
Good luck.
If you want to know more about the Bible or have any questions, our email is in the description below. You can DM us. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're looking for a church family or you're in the Lubbock area, we invite you to come visit and hang out with us in Milwaukee. We love for you to find a church who practices the love of Christ.